In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening at any time that you are listening. Welcome to the Double-Edged Sword, Assyrian Church of the East, Mara Day Parish podcast episode. Yes, I know the introduction was, or the beginning was different, the commencement was different, simply because this episode is going to be a special episode. And I am greatly joyed to welcome a brother and a friend who yesterday, Sunday, June 9th, was graciously bestowed upon the holy ranks of the church from the right hand of His Holiness, the Patriarch Mar Ava Royal. And that friend, that acolyte, is my brother. Prior to ordination, Subdeacon Colin Bethishu, but now Deacon Colin Bethishu. And it's my pleasure to introduce him. Shamasha, Deacon, welcome.
Thank you, Rabbi Kasha. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you on the episode.
Great pleasure and a great honor.
Okay, take a deep breath. Relax. There you go. It's simple. Once you get warmed up, I won't be able to stop you from talking, right? Tell us a little bit about Deacon Colin Bethishu. I'd want the listeners to be introduced and well known of you.
Well, I'd like to start with, again, thank you for having me on. Deacon Colin Bethishu would like to be known as a humble, unworthy servant of Christ, first and foremost, and then everything else and all the hoopla after that. But I'm a student still at Stanislaus State University and just trying my best to juggle work, school, and my holy service, which I'm not worthy for, but that I love to carry out here in the church.
Mm-hmm. How old are you, Deacon?
20.
And you were born?
December of 2003 in Turlock, California.
You're a Turlockian. Turlock Nayele.
Homegrown, yes.
And your parents, Ashur and
Linda Bethishu.
Let's give Ashur a plug. How's that? Go ahead.
Bethishu and Company CPA. If you need tax work done, you know he's the guy to go to.
Excellent. And siblings?
I've got two older siblings that are a little bit older than me. My older brother, Maronil, he's 28, and my older sister, Bretil, who just graduated from medical school. Congratulations, Bretil.
Oh,
we're all proud of you.
God bless.
Thank you. She's 26. Mm-hmm. And then I'm Colin with the American name.
Shamasha Colin.
Shamasha Colin, thank you. The runt of the group at 20.
I was introduced to you by my sister, Edna Bethilia, the Mara Day Parish Youth President. I remember she approached me and said, Rabbi, there's this guy that comes to church every Sunday, and I'd see you come and, partake in the Holy Communion. He's a tall guy, and I said, yeah, he's always at church, seemed humble.
Yeah, before you got to know me.
Seemed humble, and he said, oh, he's great, and, he comes to youth, and maybe we should ask him to join the youth committee, and it all began from that point. But prior to you and I meeting, or prior to me meeting you, what was Shamasha Colin doing prior to that?
Well, truth be told, our family, I was not born into the church, Protestant background, in and out of church, quite honestly. before I started coming to church here, I wasn't even really a regular churchgoer.
Mm-hmm.
And then thank God around, 18 years old, 17 years old, COVID hit. And by the grace of God, I kind of had a 180 turnaround in my life, started reading my scriptures, mm-hmm. praying daily. Mm-hmm. And I said I wanted to attend church. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my father, Osher, was going to Mark Guedes Parish. Right? I started attending with him. And then once I saw that he wasn't going every Sunday, I said, well, I've got to go somewhere. And I didn't want to take the drive to Ceres from Turlock.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks in part to laziness, I ended up at Moradde. And the rest is history.
God, who can give you immeasurably things that you did not even think of, St. Paul writes in the book to Galatians, in his epistle to Galatians. Back then it was just, I'm just going to go attend church. Little did you know that one day you're going to be interviewed by Asher Janot on a podcast episode.
And it'd be the peak of my life.
So you came to church, and obviously, how learned were you of the language and the service itself?
If there was a number less than zero I could put, I'd give, absolutely zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was a kid, my father started attending the Assyrian Church of the East about 10 years ago, 2014, 2015. I remember he took us to, the service was at Larsa Hall for Christmas or Easter, I don't remember, but I'm sitting there and I don't understand anything, not even much of the Assyrian.
Mm.
And I just prayed to God and I said, one day open my understanding, teach me, open my eyes so I can understand what's going on. And then
said, you still attend the church? You still would attend church on a Sunday?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I'd say that started about 2 years ago.
All right. Did you understand then? When you attend the church?
I'd say about that mark 2 years ago was about 0%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this just refutes that argument that we don't understand what's happening in the church. You don't have to understand what's happening in the church. Just partaking in the public worship of the church, God can call you.
Absolutely.
So to understand something and then to receive from God, that's just refuted through what you experience. You don't need to understand the provisions of God. You just need to believe and draw near, and then God can then give them to you in his miraculous and gracious ways.
Absolutely. Amen.
Great.
And when you're attending, even if you don't understand anything, I think one thing is how the faithful who are regular attendees, you see them and how they are bowed out in prayer, mm-hmm. beating on their chests, mm-hmm. asking for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
you can understand what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just that tiny bit of understanding, it might even be sweeter then because you don't understand, but you're relying fully on your faith
mm-hmm.
to say, wow, what glorious presence I'm in, and the songs and the Kadisha Allah Allah Khumara. And just the tunes are enough to get you to feel like you're really strengthening your relationship with God.
A picture or a scene says 1,000 words, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then we begin with your education. And I know our beloved Rabbi Kasha Archdeacon Oshana Kanun, who is the Vicar of the Patriarch in the Diocese of California and the parish priest at Mar Guedes Ceres, has a big role to play in your education in the language and the services itself.
Yeah, I had started with, and I'm going to give another plug here to Rabbi Hubert Baharam in Chicago.
Oh, yes.
He taught the Assyrian language, the vernacular, on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And then as I was in church, one of those days before I started coming every Sunday, I heard Kasha Oshana announce that they're going to have classes. Mm-hmm. And I went in one Monday, and I didn't know then that the Monday classes were actually for acolytes.
Okay.
And I went in there, and there I saw Kasha, and I said, hey, I'm here to learn language. Mm-hmm. And credit to Kasha, he leaped up, with a big smile, and he got right to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think Alan Al-Dawood had a role to play in that as well.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And I believe Rabbi Soro or Suro.
Suro. So the vernacular was from our brother Hubert, who has done a tremendous job via Zoom. Many people who couldn't read and write, are now reading and writing.
That's
as well.
Right.
And then the Aramaic, the ancient Assyrian I refer to, the liturgical language was then taught by Kasha Oshana and Alan and Rabbi Suro.
Yeah, credit to you as well, Shamasha Wilson, Shamasha Robert, really all the deacons at our church, Shamasha Puli, Shamasha Edison, everyone. Mm-hmm. Really just kind of here and there teaching me, and then particularly Shamasha Wilson, mm-hmm. as we have our class now every Thursday. Mm-hmm. Really not only just reading, but also understanding and rules of grammar to really help me understand better as well.
Well, it's the different members of the body of Christ working together for the edification of the body and the glorification of the head, which is Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. Amen. So then you've been spotted in the church, and I remember, please refresh my memories, I'm getting old. I think we spoke about, taking on the ranking of the subdeacon, and yourself and another, there were other candidates as well. What, you know, drawing to God, drawing to the church, learning the language, what was the main drive or the catalyst of you being interested and contemplating taking, receiving rankings in the church?
Well, I think the one of the main drivers in accepting the rank initially, because it was not something I planned to do at all, I was there to learn the language, was, you know, I was taught, well, credit to my parents, to respect authority. And when you and Akash Vishana wanted to give this to me, I saw it as a blessing, mm-hmm. to be someone who a few years ago couldn't tell you anything from the liturgy of the Eastern Church of the East to now being offered a holy order. I also think that I wanted to at the time. I was very on fire in my relationship with Christ, and I saw this with prayer and fasting as something that Christ was giving to me to draw me closer to him. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, it's a no-brainer. And as I accepted the ranking, and I saw what can be good in the church, and quite honestly, the faithfulness of not only the deacons and the priests, but also just the regular laymen, that also drew me closer. Mm-hmm. Because I said, here is this faith that I've been reading about at home, I've read about online, and you know, I've heard my entire life about Christ. Here it is in practice.
Mm-hmm. You are... a regular attendee of the Vespers, the Matins, Stoltlilia, the morning prayers, and obviously the service. Was that a tool, or was that the way that helped you to increase in knowledge and understanding of the services?
I'd say the Matins are invaluable for learning just about everything you need to know about the Eastern Church of the East, and especially the language. Mm-hmm. You learn so much there, and you're around your brother deacons and the priests, and you pick up just so much from those. And, you know, the evening prayers help as well, mm-hmm. but the Matins in the morning are incredibly valuable.
From the chants, from the language itself, and also the order of the prayers itself, you know. But there's one thing that you really need to, as your parish priest, and I want to tell everyone that you really need to work on, is vacuuming.
Oh, definitely. I've got to be the least valuable subdeacon of all time now that it's all said and done when it comes to vacuuming.
Because, you know, as subdeacon, Christ fulfilled this order as well, is when he made the whip and drove out all those who were selling and purchasing and auctioning in the temple, cleansing the temple. So one of the responsibilities and one of the duties of a subdeacon is to make sure that the church, the holy altar, the sanctuary is clean, the books are all ready to go. And that's why every time at 7 o'clock, subdeacon Colin would go and do some vacuuming. And I'd see him struggle with the cord. But that's okay. That's secondary, right? Let me bring you to yesterday, Sunday, at 9:45 a.m. when the actual ordination service commenced. And as you were reading your oath of office, and we say the Maudianuta, your confession of faith, your oath of office, or prior to that, or the night before that, what was going through your mind? You can also refer back to when it was when you were first being ordained, the first order, which was subdeacon as well.
Well, the first order was, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, God help me. And I couldn't worry too much because there was no worrying would help me. I think yesterday, I think my main concern was when I was giving the blood of Christ to His Holiness. Just God help me not to spill or mess anything up. But, you know, you're nervous, not only because you're going to be giving that oath, not only because you're going to be saying the diaconal litany, you're going to be speaking in front of people, everyone's going to have their eyes on you. Mm-hmm. You're nervous because you're taking on a role that you know you're not worthy for, and that you know that you can never fulfill fully, but that the closer you are to Christ in prayer and fasting and almsgiving and in following His commandments, His teachings, mm-hmm. the better you're going to carry it out. So you're just nervous because you're embarking on a journey that you know you can't necessarily reach the end, mm-hmm. that you can try your best, and that it really is up to you a lot of the times to try your best.
In Philippians 4:13, I'm empowered to do it all by Him who empowers me. And as you were reading your oath of office or your confession, what came to my mind, the vision I could see was when the Lord tells Moses to take Joshua, this is Numbers chapter 15, take Joshua, the son of Nun, in whom is the Spirit. Something that blows my mind, Shamash, is this. God tells Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, who has the Spirit on him, yet you lay his hand
the
on
the Spirit of God.
Amen to that. But yet, God says to Moses, you lay your hand and give him your authority, which was from God. So there's the authority of the laying on of the hand. But the other thing was that God commands him to bring him before the people so the people could see that this is the man that's going to serve you, so that people will respect and people will accept the service of this man, of Joshua. And yesterday, as you were reading your confession and your oath of office, it was the church presenting you to the congregation that this young man, this servant, unworthy servant, will be serving you. So it's all about serving. And I think you have grasped that. What would be your advice, suggestion, recommendation for those who also, like you, are contemplating and anticipating and maybe even desiring to approach the holy orders of the church?
First of all, I'd say you have to pray about it. You have to pray about it when you're in fasts. That's probably the best time because you're weakening the body, strengthening the soul, and you get to know more of what your soul truly desires, and that's guided by God. But you have to pray about it. You have to attend church on Sundays, every Sunday if you can, just to get familiar with the atmosphere, familiar with the chants, see how it all is carried out, get to know the clergy, get to know the regular lay people. And also you have to be in your scriptures, because we can come to church every Sunday, we can go to all the prayers, we can fast, we can give alms, we can do almsgiving, but you need to be reading your scriptures because that's your guidebook on how you should live, not only as a Christian, but if you're going to accept the holy order, you have more responsibility, and you need to be adept with scriptures.
The scriptures being Jesus Christ himself. You know, we read in Acts chapter 11 where Antioch, who had heard the message from St. Paul for such a long time, were the first city to be worthy of being called Christians, meaning Christ-like, small Christ.
Right.
So the gospel that was preached to them is Jesus Christ. So when you, and rightly so and so beautifully that you say, when you need to be intact with your scriptures, you need to have a relationship with the scriptures, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Be honest with me. If you weren't until to date a shamasha, would you still be attending church, do you think?
I mean, I'd hope and pray to God I would. I was attending pretty consistently about half a year before my first ordination, and I think that was one of the biggest stepping stones in accepting the rank as well. I'd hope I would be. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was on fire with my relationship with Christ, and I was reading every day, and my fasts were amazing, and I was giving.
Has there been ups and downs? I'm sorry.
And that's what I was going to come to. There absolutely have been major ups and downs, mm-hmm. and a big part of that has been during my duration as a subdeacon. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'd hope to God that during those downs, I wouldn't have lost my faith.
How did you overcome?
one thing I think that's a blessing of a rank is you feel the responsibility of just being there. And when you show up consistently and you have that consistency, even if you're in those, you know, plateaus or you've fallen down into a bad hole, mm-hmm. you're still around Christ's church. Mm-hmm. And that at the very least holds you. It holds you up. Mm-hmm. And I would say if you're attending the liturgy, if you're attending prayers, you can't be spiritually dead. And as long as you have that ember, that flickering ember, that won't be put out. And I think that's mentioned in Isaiah prophecy about Christ. That ember will not be put out.
Amen. Christ himself quotes that a broken reed he will not break and a flickering light he will not put out. Right. Let me go through the oath just a reminder, in case you've forgotten, it's been a day.
That first sentence is the most viable. Anam chila, me wretched.
I wretched, obviously then, Subdeacon Colin, you confessed your faith in the one God, in the Holy Trinity, in the one person of Jesus Christ, two natures, two hypostases, gnome characteristics in one person of Jesus Christ. Yes, we believe Jesus is God. Praise and glory be to his name.
Amen.
Jesus is God. You confessed that you believe and accept and the seven sacraments of the church. And you also confess that you believe in the First Council, the International Council of Nicaea in 325. And then you promise. First, the first part is you confessing your faith in all of what I just very briefly touched upon. But this is, I think, for me, this is the pinnacle, is where you قول إذن. You promise. When I talk to couples who are embarking on holy matrimony, and I always refer to them, I say, when we have asked you, when the priest reads you your vows, you know, in the Church of the East, the priest is the officiant. You know, back at home, you know, tradition was that the priest would also place the rings on the finger of the bride and the bridegroom. And some couples to date are bringing back that tradition. They actually ask the priest or the officiant, whether it's a bishop, that they would like the priest to. So the priest reads out the vows.
Right.
And during that, once they've accepted, they both say yes, the first person we call as witness is God. We say, may God, his holy angels, prophets, apostles, priests, deacon and the faithful bear witness that they have now promised. So you standing at the altar of the church, God being your witness, the patriarch, the priest, the deacons, the angels, the prophets, the apostles, the congregation, you said, I promised before the living God, and I just said everything. You know, I always jump the gun. So the clergy and what have you, that you will conduct yourself in faith and in obedience, in humility. Now, this goes out to all the acolytes that are hearing this. It's good to bring out this every night. This will be given. This was given to you. It's good to sometimes go back and revisit. You know, as I tell married couples, every 6 months, go back and fast forward the dancing and what have you, and the Zurna Daula, and just come to the church part. And just so you can recap what you've been, what you promised. It's good to read this every 6 months, that you promise that you will be obedient, you will be humble, you will be obedient and a preserver and to the instructions of the hierarchies that you've received that ordination from, that you will conduct yourself at all times in prayer, in fasting, and in the Holy Scriptures and the services of the church. And my dear Shamasha, this was given before God. It's as though you stood before God who had chosen you. We're all called, but a few are elected, has elected you, and you stood and said, God, your holiness, Rabbi, Shamasha, the prophets, the apostles, everyone, I promise that I will conduct myself in this manner. What does that mean to you?
It means that I'm undertaking something that I have to call on God to help me do. I've promised to God, but at the same time, I'm kind of whispering to him on the side and saying, can you help me with this?
Right? I promise I'll do it if you help me.
Yeah. I promise to do this with your help, right? And it's not something that even if you're in the best condition of your life, you cannot rely on yourself. And I believe you mentioned it. I was standing on the altar confessing not only to God and to the patriarch and to all the clergy, but also to the people, and that I'm serving Christ through serving other servants of Christ.
Amen. And you ended your promise by saying, pray for me. And everyone said, amen. So it is a great undertaking, yes. And as difficult as it seems, excuse me, as challenging sometimes as it seems, but I always remember when Christ said to his apostles, you have to abide in me because you cannot do anything without me. And my dear deacon, you've already witnessed this, but you're going to be a greater part in these ministries now, or the mysteries in themselves, the sacraments, is that I always say to the brother deacons, and you've been present, after a baptism, for example, I say, look at the rank that God has lifted up us to, where that child, through our frail hands, through the Amen of the deacons, has been put to death with Christ and has been brought to life and has been born anew and has been given new life. And you're going to be a part of that. You know, when we enter the altar and we open our arms and we say, and may there come, O my Lord, you're going to be a part of that command, that service, where the bread and the wine will be mysteriously, spiritually changed into the real presence of Jesus Christ for the salvation of souls. I think when every now and then we contemplate on this, we ponder on it, that makes it easier for us to get up on that Sunday and come to the service and fulfill our our obligation according to Christ's commandments.
I mean, I was about to say, when you, during Raza, after Raza, before Raza, Sunday was, it hit me. I said, I'm administering the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ to the patriarch of an apostolic church, to priests of an apostolic church, to deacons, to hundreds of peoples who believe in Jesus Christ.
For the cleansing of sins. Yes.
And I think, who am I? I'm 20 years old. I'm still in school. I don't, you know, I'm not a theologian. And I'm administering this part of the holy sacrament of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it helps you to remain humble, because then you sit and you think, what am I doing here? I should not be here. I do not deserve this. I am not worthy, and I will never understand it.
Amen. And God uses the fools and the weak of the world to put to shame those who are smart and strong in their own understanding. You know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Last question, and I have to throw this in. Any hint or desire, or you know, what's the word? Any hint or desire, priesthood? God willing.
If it's God's will, and that's all I'll leave it at. I'll continue to pray about it, because when I consider it, I know that it's not easy. I know that it's a burden, not a bad burden, but it's a burden.
Telling me.
Yeah, I'm preaching to the choir. But if God wills it, I have immense faith that if He decides to choose me, that I will come and say, as your will, my Lord.
Just as our Blessed Virgin Mother Mary said to the angel, "Let it be as you have told me. Here I am. I'm the maiden of the Lord." You know, and that's the mindset that we should have, not that I want to be only because I want to. It should. And not that, oh, no, I can't, and I'm not worthy. It's when God calls. You know, St. Paul says, how can a clay, or is it a pot, or how can the clay tell the potter why have you made me like this? Who am I to say, why me, Lord? You know, I always say when God says jump, you say, I'm up. Take me. God bless you. Do you want to add anything else? You want to give your suggestions and your advice to those again that want to do something in the church and become one of the acolytes?
I do. I want to speak to my brothers, my age, young men who are thinking about the church, and if they're Assyrian, should be Christian because that's part of our identity. And I thought about this the other day, and I thought I'm a genius. No, but I thought. It's always said as Assyrians, you know, we don't have a country, and it's used against us, and it's used to belittle us. Uh-huh. If you hear or if you read in the Old Testament when God's speaking to the Israelites, he mentions them going into the land of Israel in the Assyrian language, Yartuta,
yes,
which is roughly inheritance uh-huh. in English. Uh-huh. And I think that we may not have a nation with land, but we have an entire church as an inheritance. I mean, it's got Assyrian in the name. And so that is my nation, and I believe a lot of men my age, Assyrian men, young, want to be nationalistic. They want to help out their nation. Mm-hmm. And I think for many of them, if you're in Turlock, San Jose, Chicago, where most of us are, you can. And it's through the Assyrian Church of the East, serving Jesus Christ and serving his flock.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And we know what this Assyrian nation has done for Christendom. All glory to God. We say, Lama tegmental alaha. God doesn't own us for this. But they went, and the missionaries of the Assyrian Church of this. Yes, the Assyrian Church of this. You know, some people ask me, why do you say it's Assyrian? Because it was founded by Assyrians, just like the Roman Catholic Church, the Greek Absolutely. Orthodox Church. We are the Assyrian Church of the East, not the Syrian. We should emphasize the Assyrian Church of the East. And history, archaeology, is echoing the missionary work of the Assyrian Church of these and their missions. And we are proud to be in the church, just like every other church and all the other brothers and sisters in different churches. And you're absolutely right. And I believe that Nineveh is the church. And it's a spiritual Nineveh we have. And one day, if God wants to grant us the physical earthly Nineveh, let it be his will. If not, I'm content with the physical or the spiritual Nineveh that we have.
Amen.
Did the four return or not?
No, they're gone. Okay, they're gone.
That's a private joke.
Let he who understands, understand.
Yeah, let him who understands, understands. Okay, well, thank you so much, Shamasha, Deacon. Lovely to have you on your program. And actually, this will not be the last. It may be the first. It will not be the last. Let him. We'll allow him to put his money where his mouth is. Is that what right. they say? Yeah, money where your mouth is. We'd love to have you on the program, on the episode. We can present together. You can present programs if you like, and be a part of this program because that is one of your vocations as well.
Thank you, Robbie. Again, it was a pleasure to be on, and I will send out a petition to every viewer, listener, rather. To pray for me as I embark on this holy order, just as I pray for you. You know, I believe one thing our church needs and all Christianity is more prayer, and not just empty prayer, but truly prayer on the behalf of others.
I mean, petition and supplication, yes. God bless you. May your, we say, darguchava bricha, may your new order be blessed upon you, and may the Lord strengthen you. With wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to serve him for his glory and for the salvation of souls. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and at all times, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Amen.
Enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.